I choose is what I want to talk about tonight. Little I, big choose. I have a visual, but it's not here tonight, but that's okay. I choose. Little I, big C. The word choose means to pick out or select something, someone, or something as being the best or most appropriate of two or more alternatives. Choose means to pick out or select someone or something as being the best or most appropriate of two or more alternatives. We have dozens of choices that we each make every day. We have made life choices that have determined our future. One decision can alter the rest of your life. Even a decision that may not seem significant. My in-laws, when Annette was very young, chose to move to California when she was about 5 years old, I think. They chose to come back to Oklahoma. Had they not chosen to come back to Oklahoma all those years ago, I never would have met her. A decision like that can change your entire future. But the choices that have eternal impact are the ones that will make the most difference in our lives. Psalm 119, all the way down to verse number 97. Unless you'd like me to read the whole chapter, which could take the rest of the evening. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. I love. Little I, big choose. I choose to love your law. The very word of God. The very word of God. How many know that love is a choice? Love is a choice. It's not a feeling. We can feel love, yes. But there are times whenever infatuation is gone and love is a choice. How many of you have ever seen the movie Fireproof? It's a great movie about a man who drifted apart, a couple that drifted apart, and he made choices that he was spending more time away from his wife, and they were kind of living separate lives, and he wasn't happy with that. And I think it was his father-in-law one said, well, he gave him a book, and the first thing he did was, you know, use the scripture, love your wife, show acts of kindness, choose to do those things whether you feel like it or not. Love is a choice, whether we feel like it or not. Love is a choice. Oh, how I love your law. Little I, big choose, because the I must be little in order to make the big choice. Big I always focuses on I. Little I, big choose. I choose to love your law, the very word of God, the very word that we have right here. The next one is I meditate on it. I, little I, big choose. I choose to meditate. The word meditate means to focus one's thoughts on, to reflect, or to ponder over. Ponder means to think or to consider. All of that encompassed in especially quietly, soberly, and deeply. I'm going to read that one more time. To focus, meditate means to focus one's thoughts on, reflect, or ponder over, to think or consider, especially quietly, soberly, and deeply. How many have seen somebody with that faraway gaze, and you're like, a penny for your thoughts? What are you thinking about? Because they're not obviously there. They're off someplace else. And that's really what we're talking about. I mean, I can probably get you to think for just a moment. I want you to remember the best trip that you've ever taken that you've enjoyed the most, the best vacation that you've ever had. And think about the fun and think about the place and the people and the surroundings. And it could have been at any point in your life. And you think, take your mind back to that place. And you could just probably sit there for just a moment and you could think about different things that happened in that time that you really enjoyed, and how fun it was and how memorable it was and how you had such a wonderful time. And you're mulling that over in your mind. That's pondering. That's meditating. That's thinking. And that's what we're to do. I choose to do that with the Word of God. I choose to meditate. How long? The next phrase tells us, all day long. All day long. Well, that seems impossible. Does it really? Well, let me tell you about a restaurant that we just went to. And man, the food was really good. How many of you ever done that? Yeah. And then we go over here and we say, let me tell you about this restaurant because it was really good. And you go over here. Let me tell you. Now, well, you may not literally go from person to person, but in conversation as you have them, the closest to that occurrence, the more people get told. Nobody ever comes up and says, hey, let me tell you about this restaurant I went to 5 years ago. Because it's not fresh in their mind, because it wasn't something that just happened. But all day long, it's on our minds because we were there. We experienced it. If we meditate upon the Word of God, we do that on a consistent basis. I choose to do that all day long. Then what happens? Verse 98 tells us, your commands are always with me. You are what you think about. Now, one guy I heard in a motivational speech one time, he said, well, you know, they always tell you, you are what you think. He said, well, I don't believe that, because if that was true when I was a teenager, I would have been a girl. But literally, I mean, you really, the things that you spend your mind pondering on and meditating on or thinking about, those are the kinds of things that become a part of who you are. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. Now, I don't know how wise my enemies are, but I would sure like to be wiser than they are. Wouldn't you? Somebody that seeks your destruction? We are wiser than our enemies because his commands are always with me, because we meditate all day long. I choose to do that. And verse 99 says this, I have more insight than all my teachers. That's incredible. How many have ever heard the statement that the student can never be greater than the teacher? Well, that's not true. It's not true. Insight means the power or act of seeing into a situation. You see, there's a knowledge that comes from facts. And teachers can mechanically, just off the top of their head, I mean, anything that they do with repetition, you can do it. How many of you know that maybe in your vocation, you've done certain things, you've done them so much that you just know how to do it, you just rattle it off? I mean, in the company that I work for, we manufacture anchors. And when I first started with the company, there's a specific kind of anchor that we still make today. The process really hasn't changed hardly at all. And because the area that I dealt with was Southern California, where the building codes are just very strict, this was the kind of anchor that they used predominantly. And I had to talk to people about this anchor. I had to tell them how to put it in, what they needed to do. And I had done it so many times that I can still yet do it today, even though I don't do it as often, because I'm so familiar with that process. I said, this is what you do. This is how you do it. You do this, 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 just step by step. But it didn't come naturally at first. I had to learn what it was. But there was so much repetition. But now for me to actually go and install one of those anchors, that would be a totally different thing. I could probably do it, but I'm not going to do it as well as somebody that's out there doing it all the time. Even though I know how to do it. The difference between a teacher, I may know how to do it, but the insight comes from actually doing it. I have more insight than all my teachers. Why? The word for means because. I meditate on your statutes. There it is again. Little I, big choose. I choose to meditate on your statutes. If you want insight into situations that just you don't really know about, and it just doesn't seem, you know, the meditating on the word of God gives you insight into situations that you would not otherwise have insight into. It's just not going to happen. I choose to meditate, which results in powerful, insightful wisdom. Verse 100, I have more understanding than my elders. A deeper understanding than my elders. Some people think that older people are wiser, and that may be true in most cases, but it's not true in all cases. I can assure you, there is great wisdom that comes from our older generation, and I thank God for it. And I'm always willing to learn from somebody who's already been there. I mean, why would I want to make the same mistake that somebody else had already made? You know, I don't want to be one of these, I know it all, because I don't. A deeper understanding than my elders. They knew it, but they didn't obey the precepts, because if they did, they would have the understanding. That's the next part. For I obey your precepts. I choose, little I, big choose, to obey. Obey is really kind of a strange word. We expect our children to do it. And we think, well, you know, as a child, well, when I get big, I won't have to obey anybody. I can just do whatever I want. I remember Nick whenever he was pondering what he wanted to do in life, and I brought up the Army because you know they had free college tuition. We were just talking about different things. I really didn't necessarily want him to go to the Army, but I just brought it up, and he said, I don't like people telling me what to do now. What makes you think I'd want to go there? That's what they do. They tell you what to do.
Right.
And how to do it. And how long to take to do it. I mean, you know, I mean, that's really it. I choose to obey. That means to do whatever is asked or told. I choose to obey your precepts. Means following and keeping your precepts and commands. I have more understanding than my elders. You want a deeper understanding of life and a deeper understanding, then choose to walk according to the word of God, and the understanding will be there. Verse 101, I have kept my feet from every evil path. Little I, big choose. I choose to walk away from every evil path that will lead to destruction. How many know that evil paths lead to destruction? There's a pathway that will present itself to you that will go down a trail that will take you away from God, away from serving God, away from His house in just a subtle way. A former pastor, Steve Bookout, used to say, he said, I am puzzled when people come up and they ask me to pray for them to find a job. And then they take a job that will cause them not to be able to come to church. Yeah. That's not what God had in mind. Right. I know that there are situations that people do have to work. But I know this, I know that when we honor God, when we choose to follow Him and walk according to His precepts, then when the evil paths come, those paths that lead us away from the Lord, they will come, and we'll be able to say, I am not going to do that because I choose to walk away. And here's the reason, so that I might obey your word. Every time that we walk away from a choice that will lead us away from the word of God, then it causes us to be able to obey the word of God. It's a circle. When we choose to obey the word of God, we have to do something. It is incumbent upon us. The Lord doesn't come down like a marionette puppet and say, this is what you need to do. We have to make the choice. Little I, big choose. I choose to walk away from the evil paths. I choose to obey the Lord. And then it causes me to be able to obey the Lord and to learn from His word. Verse 102, I have not departed from your laws. It's not what I do all the time. It's what I don't do. I choose, little I, big choose. I choose not to depart from your word. I choose not to depart from your word. There is a steadfastness and an unwaveringness and a firmness when we choose not to depart from the word of God. And it says, for you yourself have taught me. How many know the Lord is the greatest teacher? You can sit under the greatest ministry. You can listen to the greatest preacher. You can listen to the greatest teacher. You can listen to the greatest praise and worship songs. But there is no teacher like the Lord. When you read this word for yourself, I can tell you about how that Brahms has the best mix. And it's so much healthier than the one at Sonic because it's frozen yogurt and not real ice cream. Both taste wonderful. I can tell you that the flavor that I like is butter pecan mixed in together, or Heath toffee, or both of them. They'll actually do half and half for you if you ask them. And I even know that they won't make a size bigger than the large. Because I've asked them. And I don't need a size bigger than the large, but I felt it was worth asking anyway. I can tell you how wonderful it is, and how when you crunch those pecans, and Carol's not here, so she hates nuts, so she won't mind. But anyway, you can crunch those, and they're roasted, and they just crumble when you crunch them. Maybe that's not your thing. Maybe it's peanut butter cup. How many's peanut butter cup? Oreo. M&M's? Cherry. How many is vanilla? That's okay. Vanilla. Chocolate. Chocolate and strawberry. They've got that. Or chocolate and cherry. They've got that. I can tell you about, and this is not a commercial for Brahms. It's just rolling off the top of my head because I've been there like twice this week. I literally go there two or three times a week. I'm on a first name basis with the ones over by our house because it's on the way home from work, and I have to stop and get bananas because we eat bananas every day, and you can't buy a case of bananas at a time, or at least we can't. We haven't figured out how to keep them longer than about 3 days. But anyway, without them going mushy, you know. But anyway, I can tell you about their new oatmeal cookie sundae that Cassandra saw the other day. She says, man, if I had seen that, I probably would have gotten that one instead. And it looked pretty good. I can taste it. I can tell you. I can savor it. But until you actually take a bite yourself, yeah. Words would not be would be inadequate. While we're on the topic of sweets, verse 103 says, how sweet are your words to my taste? Sweeter than honey to my mouth. They make this amazing little dessert at work. They call them energy bites. And they roll them up into these little balls, and they can't hardly keep them on the shelf. They make them up, and they sell them in a little two-pack. They make these little balls about like that, maybe about 1 inch or so, and they sell them. And I kind of wanted to know the nutritional value of those things. I did, but I didn't. But each recipe makes about 70 of these little balls because they make a huge batch. And I took a picture of the recipe and I calculated it all up. And anyway, it's like 10 cups of oats, 3 and something cups of coconut. It's about 5 cups of chocolate chips. 3 little honey bears of honey. And there's probably something else I'm forgetting to put in there, but they take all of that mixture and they mix it together. Oh, vanilla. They put vanilla in there, like 5 tablespoons of vanilla. And then they roll it all up and they put it in these little balls and they sell it. And after I figured the nutritional value, I can't believe how many times I've actually just eaten both of those at one sitting. When I got to my desk yesterday afternoon, I ate a half of one, and I ate the other half of that first one today, and I'll probably have another half tomorrow because it was just too good. And But how sweet is your word. It's like honey to my mouth. That reminded me of that. And you may not be a sweet person, but I am a sweet person. And if I eat a little bit, I want more. I mean, Sister Mary, when you come to the Thursday meal and you bring those little peanut clusters that you make, I've never seen her come and just bring one. I've never left here eating just one. Because there's just something about it that makes me want another one. I thought this was interesting. I found this article online. There's just something about something sweet. One small taste just doesn't seem to be enough. This is from SpoonUniversity.com. Just a little snippet of an article I found. It said, food cravings and hunger are not the same thing. Hunger is controlled by a biological need for food to sustain the body's functions. On the other hand, food cravings are governed by the brain. Food high in fat, calories, and sugar bind receptors in the brain that induce feelings of pleasure and delight. No kidding. In addition, sensory memories of these wonderful and emotionally addictive feelings reinforce food cravings. So there is a biological reason why. You know, when you and I've encountered people that they said, I haven't drank a soda in like a year, you know? And I'm thinking, I don't know how that's possible. Even though I drink diet when I drink. But it's just something sweet. How sweet the word of God is. May my hunger and desire exceed anything else so that I just want more and more and more of the word of God. And it's like that. So people who aren't in a habit of regularly consuming the word of God may think it to be a little difficult to get started, and maybe they think of it as a task or drudgery of some kind, or maybe they just don't like to read. But I assure you, if you get the Word of God into you, there's many ways to do it. You can listen to the Word of God on a Bible app. You can read it. You can do all kinds of things. But if you begin to consume it on a daily basis, the funny thing is that you will find that your spirit man inside, God created for the Word of God, and you will want more and more and more. Verse 104 says, I gain understanding from your precepts. I choose, little I, big choose, I choose to gain or obtain understanding or comprehension of your precepts, your commands, your principles. This is what I get. I get understanding. I understand what I'm reading. And some people may say, well, I just don't want to read it because I just won't understand it. But the miraculous thing is when we look at it through a human lens, that may be true. But if you look at it through the lens of God, we already said God was the best teacher. The Holy Spirit is the best teacher. And whenever we begin to read, then there's something on the inside of us that the Holy Spirit, the teacher, comes down and he just opens it and makes it come alive inside of us. And we may be reading across pages and pages and there's nothing that clicks, but there's one little phrase in there that just is meant for you at that particular time, and the Bible will just come open and it will just spark, and you'll think, I have never read this very passage that I'm preaching tonight. I have read I don't know how many times, but I have never preached what I'm preaching tonight. Case in point, I looked at it and there it was. It's actually funny because I came across some notes. I keep notes in spiral notebooks, and I was looking through some of my old notes, and I had actually studied this over a year ago and had made some notes. And I was looking through some of those notes I made, and I thought, man, that's pretty good. And I know that I've never preached it because I've marked it in my Bible when I preach it. I've never preached it. And I started going through those and I got excited about it. And I start making new notes. I gain understanding for your precepts. I choose to gain or obtain understanding, comprehension of your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. When you gain an understanding, there's that wrong path business again. When you gain understanding, then I choose, little I, big choose. I choose to hate, which is a strong word. I hate every wrong path, every path that will lead me down a way that is away from God. I hate every path that's not right. How do you know if it's not right? If it doesn't line up with the word of God, then it's wrong. I hate every wrong path. Wrong paths only lead me away from God. We should be fully aware of what I choose makes a difference. What I choose makes a difference. And it makes us closer to God, further from the enemy, and it keeps us on the right path. And it brings me to the next verse, which is the first verse I ever remember learning. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Or thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's how it was printed on the inside cover of my Bible. We didn't have anything but the King James when I was little. That's what I learned. John 1:14 says this. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Talking about Jesus. In John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I choose to be close to Jesus, the living word, and never walk in darkness again. Little I, big choose. I must decrease so that he would increase. I choose. Choices make a difference. Amen.